We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm told that this music choice is inspired by the mystery behind LeBron James' future after tonight. Before we get to that, this is your final chance to win $1,000. I will endeavor to give this code word out more times this hour than I usually do, because usually my thinking is if you miss the code word early at the top of the hour when I give it out, that's kind of on you. Right, you should have been listening closer. You don't have to ask me 100 times what the code word was. But since this is the final code word for a while, I think in the fall they're going to be back. But this is your final code word coming up. I'm going to give it out as many times this hour as possible. This is your last chance to win $1,000 in this WQAM signing bonus contest. Your chance to take home $1,000. Text the word speed. I have a radar detector in my car because I speed too much. Speed is the word. Text it to 72881 and you're registered. Text speed, S-P-E-E-D, to 72881 now. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. Good luck. I would like to have a winner from this show today in the final code word. That would be kick-ass. It is the Alex Dono Show here on 560 WQAM. If you'd like to get in, share your infinite wisdom with us via the phone lines, 305-567-0560 or 954-567-0560. You can always get at us on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line at 560-22. Please do not text and drive. And remember, you can listen online. If you get home from your drive home, you want to keep listening, WQAM.com on your computer or on your smartphone on the radio.com app. So this was interesting today. Stephen A. Smith tweets the seven teams he believes to be in the mix to land LeBron James, who, you know, at some point within the next few days here, his postseason in Cleveland will be over. I think it ends tonight. I thought that game three was the best chance for Cleveland to take a game in this series. I thought first home game for them this series, they'd be charged up by that crowd. They would play lights out basketball. They didn't see Kevin Durant coming. They were not ready for the KD game, the 43 points, the dominance, the brilliance, the nail in the coffin that he put in, the dagger that he put through the heart of Cleveland with 49.8 seconds, that ridiculous three-pointer that he hit the other night. They didn't see the KD game coming, and I thought Game 3 was their best chance to take one this series. I think Golden State puts the Cavs out of their misery here tonight. And according to Stephen A. Smith of ESPN, here are the seven teams he believes to be in the mix to land LeBron James this summer. The Cleveland Cavaliers, will he stay home? Will he trust the process, the rebuild now that has to happen there in Cleveland? Because obviously LeBron is not gonna say to Dan Gilbert, you know what, Dan, we don't need to change a thing. Let's just roll into next season with the exact same roster we have right now, and maybe things will go better. That's not going to happen. But will LeBron trust the rebuilding process in Cleveland? Golden State Warriors are on that list. My God. We'll get back to them in a second. Philadelphia 76ers also on that list. And maybe, just maybe, the 76ers give their general manager job to LeBron's buddy David Griffin. That could help the process, right? The guy that LeBron allegedly never wanted to be fired by Cleveland. If David Griffin becomes the GM in Philly, that could give them an inside track to get that done. Not to mention joining a couple of young future and present superstars in Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. You'd bring a big three to Philly, and you stay in the Eastern Conference. Boston Celtics are also on that list. I just would love the idea of a sign and trade where LeBron goes to Boston and Kyrie Irving has to go back to Cleveland. Just the irony of that would make me laugh a little bit. Houston Rockets on that list. Los Angeles Lakers. Been a lot of steam, a lot of momentum in their direction these last couple of days with Adrian Wojnarowski reporting that LeBron James is going to sit down with Paul George this summer to discuss potentially joining the Lakers. Doesn't it kind of sound like tampering, even that report being out there, that they're even thinking about it and they've set a meeting together to talk about joining the Lakers? We know tampering happens in the NBA. Wasn't there 2 years of tampering that led to LeBron joining the Miami Heat? Because they had that mapped out like from the Beijing Olympics in 08 all the way to 2010. That was 2 years of tampering. And I know that our boy Mark Cuban is still mad about that. And then the final team that appears on Stephen A. Smith's list, seven teams in the mix to land LeBron James, the Miami Heat. So you're telling me there's a chance. I love to see him on the list. I just don't see like how logistically it happens. Right? But I will say this, though. When it comes to free agency, when it comes to LeBron's free agency, you can't just cast aside anything that Stephen A. Smith says because he is plugged into this stuff. He was warning people back in 2010, how quickly you forget. Summer of 2010, when everybody thought, oh, of course he's not leaving the Cavaliers. How could LeBron leave Cleveland? Stephen A. Smith was one of the first talking heads that was warning America. LeBron James could very well be joining Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in Miami. You have to watch out for this. Nobody believed it until he dropped the bombshell on Jim Gray in that decision special. Nobody believed what Stephen A. Smith was warning people about until it actually came down. So I wouldn't discount anything completely that Stephen A. says. Just the fact that he considers Miami in the mix means there's got to be something behind it. Now, maybe this could be LeBron James having fond memories of his time in Miami, appreciating the structure and the culture in a way that he didn't appreciate it during his 4 years here, because he thought he could just recreate that going back to Cleveland. And it's, you know, management-wise in Cleveland, it's been a dumpster fire. Like, they are where they are today, four straight NBA finals, strictly because of LeBron James. It's not because of any decision that Dan Gilbert has made. It's not because of any great revelations of coaching from Tyronn Lue or David Blatt before him. The only reason Cleveland has been to four straight NBA finals is because of LeBron James, and it's despite all the dysfunction of that management. Maybe he longs for that structure in Miami. Or perhaps this is an approved destination from his family, because we hear a lot about that. What is his wife? What do his kids have to think about this? Maybe they like living in Miami more than people gave them credit for. Because I keep hearing the people from Cleveland saying, well, maybe his wife convinces him we got to stay in Cleveland. Maybe his wife wants to get the hell out of Cleveland. How about that? Now, on the flip side of that, Barry Jackson from the Miami Herald, in response to a lot of these, whispers, you know, Vegas has Miami. They have odds on the board for LeBron to go back to Miami, 25-1. You know, now Stephen A. Smith says Miami is in the mix to go to bring LeBron back. According to Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald, there is absolutely no expectation inside the Miami Heat that LeBron James will return. So according to Barry and his sources in the Heat front office, nobody in the Heat front office says we at least need to consider the possibility that LeBron comes back here. Because there is a lot to consider there, my friends. We are about 3 weeks away from free agency beginning, which means if you're thinking you've got to shell out a max contract for LeBron James, you better be busting your ass to trade the players to clear up that cap space. Or you better be busting your ass to work on your sign and trade possibilities with Cleveland. And apparently no one in that Heat front office is busting their ass right now because they don't believe it's even a possibility. Is it a possibility, though, that LeBron hasn't even given them a hint of that yet? That if LeBron was even considering coming back here, maybe that's just something that LeBron has tossed around with Maverick Carter and Rich Paul, his manager and his agent. Maybe he's thrown that idea around at the dinner table with his family, and he knows deep down inside, listen, I still have a series to finish here. We're getting our butts kicked down 3-0, but I still have to focus on basketball. And then once the finals are over, that's when we're really going to get down to business. That maybe this is something that LeBron's side is considering, but he's not really notified these clubs yet of what he's looking to do. But I think it is worth noting that team sources tell Barry Jackson there is absolutely no expectation about LeBron James going back to Cleveland. So I think that's something to watch out for. According to Mark Stein of ESPN, the only thing that could keep LeBron in Cleveland. If you're asking me where I think he goes, L.A. or Philadelphia. Houston, to me, would have to pull off too much salary cap gymnastics to get LeBron there. And if you're thinking LeBron and Chris Paul play together, the only way that happens is if Chris Paul takes a hefty discount when everything indicates he wants a max deal to stay there. Houston, to me, not as bad as Miami, where it looks impossible to clear that cap space, but Houston would be very difficult, whereas L.A. has the cap space for LeBron. Philadelphia straight up has the cap space for LeBron, and he could stay in the East. I think it's going to be one of those two teams that he goes to. I definitely don't think it's Golden State. Or maybe it is. If it really is more important for him to win rings than anything else. You have anything over there, Manny? Oh, no! Oh, no. You think Fizdale's going to get it done? Oh, God. Can we get Falero to report on that while he's in New York? If Falero's going to be in New York City for 5 days, put that kid to work, man. Get him at the Knicks facility. Get him on the horn with James Dolan. I mean, the only way that happens is if David Fizdale gets on his knees and begs, LeBron, remember those good times we had together? I was your favorite assistant coach in Miami. How awesome was that? You love me, LeBron. Come and play in New York. We'll talk some football on the other side. Another week of minicamp coming up for the Miami Dolphins, who just completed first week of mandatory minicamp this past week. A lot of headlines in Ryan Tannehill's direction, Robert Quinn's direction, and elsewhere. Jarvis Landry has taken his shots at the Dolphins quarterback situation. So much to get to with Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel, and he will join us next here on QAM. But, man, I want to talk about the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. The Quarterdeck restaurants are the spot to watch all the big games. Pretty big game on tonight. I would strongly consider watching that at the Quarterdeck with the flat screen, high definition TVs covering every wall, full sound. Audio is great. UFC pay-per-view coming up tomorrow night. UFC 225. Yoel Romero, Robert Whittaker, Colby Covington, Rafael Dos Anjos, double main event tomorrow. No cover charge at the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill. They will charge you nothing at the door to watch a UFC pay-per-view, and it's a great spot with the two-for-one happy hour all day, every day. The beer is always cold. The wine selection is impressive. The seafood is delicious at the Quarterdeck. I love the oysters and Maine lobster. The world-class sushi is delicious. The fresh mahi. Chicken ciabatta sandwich is my favorite entree. I love to build my own burger with tons of fresh toppings. Every time I'm at the Quarterdeck, though, save at least a little room for dessert, because the key lime cheesecake, that is the perfect way to finish every meal. You wash it all down with that happy hour. It's so delicious, the two-for-one happy hour. If you want to find the location nearest to you or check out the menu on the web before you go, visit them on the internet, quarterdeckrestaurants.com, because the Quarterdeck Seafood Bar and Neighborhood Grill is where you come for the food and stay for the fun. It's not a diss song, it's just a real song. Aren't we still waiting on some bombshell about the New England Patriots? I keep getting all these heads up from people. 5 o'clock, something big was supposed to come down. We're still waiting. No Gronk trade. No more positive PED tests. So supposedly something was going to drop at 5 o'clock, and maybe they meant like 5 o'clock Pacific. I don't know, man. I'm sitting here at 6:22, and nothing's happening.
Well, I highly doubt it's that their equipment man is now is my new boss in the FIU equipment room. I don't know if that counts.
Like the guy who deflated the footballs?
I don't know if that's him, but he's part of the staff, yeah.
No way.
He will be the head of operations for football at FIU.
Do you have to, like, go double-check the PSI of the football to make sure he's not screwing around?
It's funny you said that. We started our camps for high school yesterday. We had to check every single football.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And he was there on the sidelines, kind of imitating.
That's crazy. Wow. How about that? 6 degrees of separation. We go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Toyota of Hollywood has moved 2 blocks south of their old location. Get there now. Always love talking Dolphins, talking NFL with Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Long time no talk. Omar, how you been?
I'm good. How you doing, Donna?
I'm doing pretty well. Let me start with this, Omar, because Sports Illustrated has released their predicting the record for all 32 teams in the NFL. They went with 3-13 for the Miami Dolphins. Now, obviously, I know anything can happen in NFL season, so it's not to say this is impossible. Who knows who gets hurt? Who knows what kind of luck you have? But 3-13, expecting reasonable health for this team, does that seem ridiculously low, or can you see 3-13 potential from this group?
I could definitely see 3-13 potential. It does seem ridiculously low, but best thing that could ever happen to the Dolphins, because something like this gets their attention. Let's say they predicted them to be 7-9. Would everybody be writing about it or be this outraged about it? No. So it's really, you know, best thing that could happen, because it can get the team's panties in a bunch.
Jarvis Landry yesterday says that his quarterbacks in Cleveland, quote, a lot better than what I had with the Miami Dolphins. What did you make of that?
I think that Jarvis Landry is still upset at the Miami Dolphins. And that's not a surprise to me, because Jarvis will probably go to his grave upset at the Miami Dolphins.
Do you think he's right?
I think he's angry. And I think he has a right to be angry. And I think that he deserves as many cheap shots as he could possibly get for having been misled and lied to by the organization. Probably in his mind, treated unfairly, held hostage. So, you know, it makes sense to me. What I don't like is the fact that he lied to the Cleveland Plain Dealer about, I guess, not working, you know, Tannehill not throwing to him in the offseason, which everybody knows that's a lie, because Jarvis was the one putting up video of it last year.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, Omar, because I was starting to wonder if my memory didn't serve me correctly, because one of the biggest things I recall from, like, this time of year, the last 2 years, talking to Dolphin players in May and June, Ryan Tannehill taking the initiative,
yeah,
calling us all together. We're throwing, we're working out. We love his leadership because he's organizing all these workouts. So, yeah, I was very surprised to see Landry say that.
Yeah, that to me, probably I need some explanation or more context. Maybe Jarvis felt like he needed more and he didn't get enough, or maybe he didn't like the fact that it was always on Tannehill's terms, or maybe he didn't like the fact that other guys didn't come. This is, you know, Tyrod Taylor basically stepping up and said, hey, Jarvis, we'll all come to you. Like, you know, Miami's a great location. Clearly, if you want to go work out somewhere in the summer, it's best to do it in Miami as opposed to Cleveland. So I don't know. I don't understand that one. I do know Jarvis is angry. Jarvis is going to be petty, and as he has a right to be petty, because he lied to him. I just did a Instagram chat with people a couple hours ago, and it really, you know, the question was, are there any more alphas left on the team now that, you know, Mike Pouncey and Jarvis Landry are gone? And I'm like, and I was like, I started counting, mm-hmm, and I don't really think any alpha males are on the team anymore. But that might be a good thing, because alpha males, you know, when we get angry, we want to burn your house down. And that's, you know, Jarvis right now, he's angry at the Miami Dolphins, and also, you know, as a result, he wants to burn your house down. But let's be real about this. This isn't the first time a divorce has happened with a Dolphins wide receiver, and that wide receiver's come out and basically said your quarterback's trash.
Shouldn't though?
It's happened. It's happened a lot.
Yeah. Talking about alphas, though, like, shouldn't you want to have alphas, but the hope would be that you've got, like, a culture and a coaching staff that is strong enough to, like, harness the aggression of the alphas? Because wouldn't, like, having alphas still be better than having a team full of yes men?
Yes. And ultimately, Adam Gase is attracted to alphas, and he's turned on by alphas, and he wants more alphas. But alphas are very difficult to manage. And I say we because I'm an alpha kind of personality, and you know, if we're on your side, you know, you can point me in the direction of who you want me to assassinate, and I'll go assassinate it. That's how we ride. But when we're pissed off at you, like, you know, we want to burn your house down, and you inside it, we'd like you to be inside it. Adam Gase pissed off Jarvis Landry, and Jarvis Landry wants to burn his house down. That's I don't understand how people don't understand that and get that. You know, this is alpha behavior. Like, when we ride for you. When you cross us, we want to burn your house down.
Who do you think is more pissed about their time getting cut short here? Would it be Mike Pouncey or Jarvis Landry?
Definitely Mike, because Mike goes to bed you know, Mike is told constantly over and over again, you're okay, you're okay, you're good, we love you, you're going to be our cornerstone, like, you know, you're our dude, you know, I got you. And the next day he wakes up and he's basically released. You know, Jarvis knew it was Jarvis knew something was coming. And Jarvis, those were at least on his terms. Mike was, you know, hey, you're not even calling me about restructuring the contract. No, this is you're basically saying for months you've been like, you're good, we're good, don't worry, I got you. And then all of a sudden I'm released and I'm not accepting your phone call.
Do you see any alpha potential in younger players, like rookies or second year guys? Anything from Minka Fitzpatrick? Anything from, you know, like a Raekwon McMillan who didn't play last year is essentially going to be a rookie this year? Mm-hmm. Do you look at any of those guys and say maybe an alpha could emerge here?
The only one that I, you know, people ask me this question, so I had to give it some thought. I don't know Robert Quinn's personality. I don't know if he's an alpha or not. So I can't speak about him. Kenyon Drake is an alpha male. Kenyon Drake has, you know, alpha male personality traits. So, yeah, he can burn your house down. You know, that's the only one. Raekwon, you don't really see that. You just, you know, maybe I don't know him as well as I could or should. I just can't see that. And Minka Fitzpatrick, I you know, he seems too nice to kind of be an alpha.
Well, and also, like, apparently, you know, with how well he and Saban got along, they called him Lil Saban. So maybe, yeah, he was the coach's pet, I think, Omar.
Yeah, no, I can't sit here and say somebody who is Nick Saban's, you know, representation on the field, because Nick Saban's a little crazy too.
He is.
So, I don't know. Give me some time. Like, I can't sit here. People want me to say he's an alpha, he's not an alpha. Like, it's very weird to define what an alpha personality is, and people don't understand. Like, Cameron Wake is a great player. He's potentially a Hall of Fame player. He's not an alpha male. That, you know, you understand because you're around Cameron Wake. You know, Rashad Jones, great player, great person, not an alpha male.
Yeah.
You understand because you're around Rashad. Like, but you know the difference between Mike Pouncey and Jarvis Landry and everybody else, correct?
Yes, absolutely.
You know, there's like, there's a switch that you could flip on them and they can go crazy. You got to have that little switch. Otherwise, it's kind of hard for me to sit here and say you're an alpha male.
Robert Quinn, how impressive has he looked on the field? And I'm finally going to see you out there at some minicamp next week, Omar. But it seems Robert Quinn is a guy who's been flashing.
I'm gonna pull a Adam Gase and Joe Rose on you and ask you, like, hey man, where you been? How come you're not at practice?
Yeah, what? We've had such a hard time getting a schedule together with me watching the kid that I can finally get out there next week, Omar. I'm gonna use my 3-month-old as an excuse, but I will see you there next week.
Okay. Excellent. I'm always appreciative when you're out there, an extra set of eyes. I don't know. I can't sit here and tell you, like, he just started flashing this week, and I can't sit here and say, oh, Robert Quinn's going to be a monster. I think you hear a lot about his bend and his twist and all that great stuff, and that's cute, and, you know, but I can't tell you, like, what only thing I could tell you is these defensive ends are giving these offensive tackles trouble, but then that's consistent with what I've seen every year of my career here. And then when we get to the season, we'll end the year with 30 sacks. And we'll be wondering, like, oh, man, I thought you said these defensive ends were going to be great. So I can't, like, I don't know enough. Like, there's not enough information for me to formulate any kind of hard and firm conclusion about Robert Quinn. But I will tell you he's better looking than Mario Williams, not appearance-wise, but productive, but play-wise.
You're not setting the bar very high, but that is good to know at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, we're not talking about, like, Mario Williams. I kept, like, waiting for something, and nothing ever happened.
Right.
And then I was just like, man, like, this guy might not be good. I've seen flashes where there was one practice, I think it was Thursday, where, you know, him and Andre Branch kind of wrecked the game plan for the offense.
Omar Kelly from the South Florida Sun Sentinel is with us here on the Alex Dono Show, WQAM. You know, Omar, with Ryan Tannehill, a lot of people will say that, man, you know, he hasn't played in a year and a half worrying about rust. But what about the other side of it? Is there anything positive we can take from not having played in a year and a half and being able to be on the sidelines and take mental reps? Because that's a narrative we're starting to see, the mental reps he took last year. Is that is that valid, or is that just reaching for a story?
Just reaching for a story. I did a takeaway of sort of the 10 things that I've observed in the amount of practices that we've been able to watch, like things that I can say unequivocally, I think. And the number one thing is, you know, he's got his mobility that he had, which is my biggest concern, because I was wondering, you know, if he's not going to be mobile, like, what's the point? Because
right.
I don't want a non-mobile Ryan Tannehill as my quarterback. Like, he's already averages enough with his mobility. Like, he's going to be worse without his mobility. Well, I don't have to worry about that because he's got his mobility back. He's moving around very well in the pocket. I, in fact, like what I've seen from him. Like, there's an element to him now where he can avoid sacks a little bit, which has taken me a while to see that. He avoids pressure. He feels it a little bit better. He identifies it a little bit better. But ultimately, is the offense executing at a higher level? No. And until it is, I'm not going to sit here and sell hope to Dolphin fans. Like, the Ryan Tannehill that I'm seeing at practice is the same Ryan Tannehill that you've seen since 2012. Okay, now that you know that, you know, compensate for his shortcomings in other ways.
Omar, we know that switching gears here away from the Dolphins, Terrell Owens, like we all know, anybody who followed his career, that guy moves to the beat of a different drum, his own drum. He says he's not going to show up to his Hall of Fame induction, which is unprecedented for a living. Do you think he ends up showing up? Do you think he has a change of heart?
He is the biggest idiot ever if he doesn't show up to his Hall. Like, this is the pinnacle of your career as a professional athlete. And because you're mad that people didn't elect you as a first time. You know why they didn't elect you as a first ballot Hall of Famer? Because you were, I don't even know if I could say the word up that goes before bag. And
I don't know if you can either, to be honest. That's one of those gray areas on radio.
And because you were a you-know-what bag, you know, everybody wanted to punish you. Okay, great. So they punish you, but they put you in your second or third year. I can't even
remember. Yeah, third year.
Was it third year?
Okay. Yeah.
So now all you're doing is justifying why they deserve to punish you and keep you out, because when people should be – like, you imagine all the fans of yours. And I'm a T.O. fan, and I can get past all the baggery. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I can get past all the baggery, and I am a T.O. fan.
I
do understand all the baggery that you've had throughout your career, and it's really a black eye on you. But now, when you have a chance to sit there and have people celebrate you for 30 minutes of your life, a crowning achievement, you're going to be a bag and not show up? And everything, all the people who fought for you on your behalf to get you in, and all the people who complained about how this is unfair and don't punish him because of his personality and who he was as a player, you're just showing everybody that they were right. Like, this is honestly the pettiest thing in sports I've ever seen.
It's up there, man. You may be right. I don't have an example off the top of my head that tops this one.
Do you want to be the legend, the goat, the petty goat of all time? Is that what you want? Do you want to go down to be the pettiest human being on earth?
Because what exactly can he do that night that's going to be more fulfilling to him than being at that ceremony? Like you have some family and friends over for a party at your house. Wouldn't you rather have them at that ceremony celebrating you as you put the gold jacket on? Like, this is so ridiculous to me.
Like, you know, I know for a fact that Hall of Famers, you know, they make a good amount of money as Hall of Famers, signings and things of that nature. Your status and stuff improves drastically when you're a Hall of Famer. So you know, it's a great crowning achievement and crowning moment. And that, you know, I that video will play forever in life. Like, you could get up on that podium and you can be petty and be, you know, you could give a Michael Jordan speech, you know, telling everybody how much better you are than they were. Do whatever you want, because that's your moment.
Right.
When you're going to be petty enough to deny yourself that moment, like, come on, bro. Give this some thought. Give this some thought. Like, what is he going to do next? Say that he's not going to be a model for the Hall of Fame bus that they're going to put together? Is that what's next?
Can you imagine that? And it's not like he waited a decade. Like, he waited 3 years to get in. Like, I think Chris Carter had to wait like 7 years because he was a bag as well.
I mean, we're talking about, you're up there with the legends of the game, and this is how you're acting? Who are you punishing outside of your own fan base?
Bingo.
Like, who exactly are you punishing outside of your own fans? And I do count myself as a T.O. fan. Like, I was going to be watching that induction. I don't even know who else is in the class, but I know T.O.'s in the class.
Yeah.
And then think about all the legends like Zach Thomas who would kill for that moment. And you here are turning your nose up at it because you want to be petty. Like, you know, what is this going to get you more interviews? You are the most petty human being of all time. And that should not be a distinction that you want ever.
I love it. Omar Kelly covers the Miami Dolphins and the National Football League for the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Omar, have a great weekend coming up, man. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Donna. Talk to you later, man.
You want to check out Omar's work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel, sunsentinel.com, and on Twitter at Omar Kelly. Texter writes in, after 7 years of Omar pissing me off, I'm finally on Team Omar. Wow, so he's making fans here today. And that whole T.O. rant, it ties in perfectly to something I want to get to. I'm going to have my top three list coming up next. You know how we like to do it on Fridays. My top three weekend predictions. One of them involves the Cavs. One of them involves T.O. One of them involves horse racing. Might be the first time. I know the Triple Crown's going on, so this is a good, you know, Belmont tomorrow. So this would be a good time to talk horse racing. Might be the first time in the history of this show I've ever talked horse racing, because I could not care less. But I do have a horse racing prediction. We'll get to that and more next here on QAM. Got 11 minutes left to enter the final code word of this national signing bonus contest. I think we have another one of these contests coming up until the fall. So if you want to win that $1,000, you haven't done so yet, you want to text the word SPEED to 72881. Text SPEED to 72881 by the end of the hour for your chance to win $1,000. This is a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Do not text and drive. SPEED. I'll spell it for those of you out there who were not intellectually inclined. SPEED. Why you look at me like that, Chang?
Because I think of speed, and I think of Keanu Reeves. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, Keanu. Yeah.
Bullock.
There you go.
Amazing movie, by the way.
Fantastic movie. If you drive under 50 miles an hour, you die. The bus blow. Can you imagine if that was real life?
Seriously. Can I tell you, though, who I'm picking tomorrow to win the race?
Please?
Seabiscuit.
Is he racing? Is he back from the dead? Did they revive? What would Seabiscuit be, like 100? Did they revive Seabiscuit? I never watched that movie with Peter Parker.
With Tobey Maguire?
Yeah, with Tobey Maguire. I actually
just did the other day. That's why I said Seabiscuit.
Was the movie as boring as it looks?
No, it's a great movie.
So it was a good movie?
Yeah.
I just remember seeing the trailers for that movie.
But thinking, yeah, you know, you taking movie advice from me might not be a great idea.
Yeah, you've seen like 20 movies. So your standards on what makes it, you don't have a whole lot of experience.
By the way, I thought Solo was pretty good. I thought maybe there was something missing, maybe along the storyline of his life, but I thought it was pretty good.
I still haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen it yet?
No, I haven't seen Solo. Well, you didn't give anything away there.
Well, you want me to?
No. I'll kick you right out of the room.
I can tell you missed me.
I did. Yeah, I miss your obnoxious comments. All right, so it is time, my friends. You know I do this every Friday. And I proudly bat 66.6%. Like, I almost always, two out of my three weekend predictions are correct. And then, of course, nobody remembers the two correct predictions. They just, on Monday, I get these, Dono, you were wrong about that prediction. Like, when I guaranteed the Celtics would close out the Cavaliers a couple weeks ago. I'm always wrong on one of these, but I'm right on two of them. Which one will be the wrong prediction today? It is time for my top three weekend predictions.
It's time for the three most important things you'll hear today. Alex Dono's top three on Miami Sports Radio 560 WQAM.
All right, top three weekend predictions coming up since we are a little over 2 hours away from Game 4 of the NBA Finals. We'll start in the National Basketball Association with the Warriors ahead 3-0, looking for the sweep tonight. My prediction, LeBron James will score 40 with a triple-double tonight, and yet the Cavaliers will still lose Game 4. They will see, he will get 40, a triple-double, which, I don't know, you could kind of expect from LeBron at this point. With that support, he's got to score 40. Otherwise, they get blown out by 40. So LeBron will score 40 with a triple-double, but the Cavaliers will still lose tonight. The Warriors will close out the sweep. And even though LeBron will be averaging about 40 points and a near triple-double in the series as a whole, after this game tonight, no one in the media will be expecting him to stay in Cleveland, and no one will blame him for leaving Cleveland. We're not going to know where he's going for, you know, about 3 weeks yet. But no one in the media will even discuss the possibility of LeBron staying in Cleveland. All the speculation will ramp up. Is it Los Angeles? Is it Houston? Is it Philadelphia? Is it Boston? Is it Golden State? Is it Miami? Our heads will be spinning with LeBron speculation, but he will score 40 points tonight and still fail. That is my prediction. Sweep completed tonight by Golden State. Prediction number two, and this ties into what Omar Kelly and I were just talking about. Terrell Owens, I believe by Monday, Terrell Owens will have a change of heart and announce he is going to Canton for his Hall of Fame induction. Because as a texter wrote in, what other moment in his life will equal this? Maybe the birth of a child is the only thing that will bring as much fulfillment as that moment of being inducted into the Hall of Fame, and he's going to pass that up to prove a point. Then time will pass and he will regret it, and he can't get that moment back for the rest of his life. I think by Monday, someone will talk sense into T.O. I guarantee you he's already getting phone calls from Hall of Famers. Now, maybe some of them just are so pissed off at how obnoxious he is and they're not even going to call him, but I guarantee there's going to be some Jerry Rice types out there who are going to give T.O. a call and said, listen, man, just out of respect, you may want to think about this, right? That your stats are second place to me in a lot of categories. You're one of the best of all time. Don't let the pettiness overtake you. You have to reconsider this. I think T.O. is going to have a change of heart by Monday and announce that he is going to go to the ceremony. And hopefully this awkwardness will end because for as different as a guy as T.O. is, and I like T.O. I don't want T.O. to miss out on this just because he's upset. That's prediction number two. T.O. will announce he's going to Canton after all. Prediction number three. Justify will fail to complete his bid for the Triple Crown. As hammering Hank Goldberg said this week to Sportsline, quote, the problem I have with Justify is he's coming out of an extremely tiring race. The Preakness really took a lot out of him. Plus, his run of five races in a very short period of time. So Justify will fall short, and we're not going to get our second Triple Crown winner in 4 years. Justify will fall short at the Belmont. There's going to be a lot of disappointed people out there, but maybe Seabiscuit, as Manny predicted, will win this race. Seabiscuit will come out on top for his second Triple Crown in 100 years. That's going to be fantastic, what Seabiscuit is going to do.
And Red Pollard's going to ride him.
Is that the name of the jockey?
Yeah.
Peter Parker is going to ride him. Where does Tobey Maguire rank?
You said that so wrong.
I don't know. Yeah, you're kind of right about that. Now I see what you did there. I see what I did there. Where does Tobey Maguire rank in the pecking order of Spider-Men? Is it Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, Tobey Maguire? How do you rank the three? We're probably not going to discuss that a whole lot when we come back because, you know, the NBA Finals are in 2 hours. But the Alex Dono Show continues next here on 560 WQAM.